in Mark chapter 5, down in verse number 25. I'll read a little bit in the scriptures. It says of a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and it suffered many things and many physicians, and it spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You may be seated. If I were to ask you what you considered as essential to life, I wonder what your answer would be. Some would no doubt say that faith is essential to life. And it is. And surely, some would say family. Others would no doubt say friends. And some love. And others would say having a purpose in life. And then that others would no doubt say other things. But I wonder if we really understand that, hey, how essential that hope is to life. In his book entitled Relationships 101, John Maxwell says this. He says, it has been said that a person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only 4 seconds without hope. Someone else made this statement. They said, hope is a match in a dark tunnel, a moment of light, just enough to reveal the path ahead and ultimately the way out. This entire chapter that I've read is a chapter filled with hope. Everything about this chapter encourages hope. The early part of this chapter deals with the demon-possessed man of Gadara. This family had out, had given up hope that anything about him would ever change. But then one day, Jesus' ship pulled up on the shores of Gadara, and his life was changed forever. Then Jesus got in the ship and went back across the Sea of Galilee. And when he arrived, people began to surround him again. And it wasn't but a little bit. A man named Jairus came to him seeking help for his daughter at the point of death. As Jesus was making his way to try to help him in his hour of need, we find this story interrupts their journey to Jairus' house. This woman is needing help. She is at a point of needing hope restored in her life. I'd like to think for a little bit, for a few moments, about this thought of hope for hurting hearts. Hope for hurting hearts. Because I want to think about this woman's story for just a little while. And I think about your story today. What about the story in your life? I wonder about your situation. I wonder if there is something in your life that you have almost lost hope in. I wonder today if there is somebody that you've been praying for, that you've almost given up hope that they'll ever change. I wonder if there is a situation that you are looking at that you have almost thought that I don't know that it'll ever improve. I wonder if there is something in your life that you have almost reached that point in your life that hope is almost gone. This story today is a story that is restoring hope for hurting hearts. It is a story that says to you and I, Don't lose hope. As long as there is Jesus, don't lose hope. Don't give up hope in Jesus today. So for a few moments, I want us to look at this story. First of all, think about this woman, that she was diseased. I notice verse 25. It says in this verse, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. It's one thing to be sick for a day. It's one thing to be sick for a week. It is another to be sick for a month or a year. But she was sick for 12 long years. And according to verse 29 and verse 34, it calls her sickness a plague. That word plague is interesting. That word plague is defined as something like a whip. It is that idea of a scourge. In other words, it is speaking of something that causes great suffering and pain. So here is a woman that has a disease in her body that is causing her great suffering. It pictures for us a couple of things. For one thing, it speaks for us about the power of sin in life. It tells us about how that sin in life is a debilitating and a destructing, destroying, debilitating and destructive power. It reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember how the man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He was beaten and wounded and left for dead on the side of the road. That's how sin will do a life. It'll destroy you, cast you aside, and leave you to die. It tells us something about the power of sin. In ourselves, there is no cure for sin. It takes something outside of ourselves. But it also is a picture of the process of suffering. Do you realize that it is what suffering does to you and I in our lives? Suffering takes and takes and takes and takes. Suffering will take your strength. Suffering will take your peace. Suffering will take your sleep. Suffering will take your happiness. And suffering will take your hope. It'll take it all away from your life. This woman was diseased. But also, this woman was discouraged. It says in verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She was discouraged. She had done everything in her power. She had spent everything that she had. But she had gotten worse. The Talmud, the book of the Jewish law, had all kinds of cures for this disease. It had no less than 11 cures. Some were potions, and some were even quite silly. One of them, just to give you an illustration, there was one that said to have the individual to sit at a place where two ways meet and to hold a cup of wine in their right hand. Then to have somebody to come up behind them and frighten them and to say, "Arise from thy foot." And that was supposed to be a cure. To me, that sounded like a cure for the hiccups. To come up behind them and scare them. But that was what the Talmud said. I guarantee you she had tried it all. But rather grew worse. She probably on her medicine cabinet shelf had every medicine she could buy. She'd hear of a new doctor and she'd go to the doctor. She'd spend every penny she had. Now she was empty and now she is broke. She did what we all do. If it's me, I'd have done the same thing, trying to do everything to find a cure. She was empty. She is broke. She was discouraged. She is desperate. She happened to hear about a man named Jesus passing by. And in her desperation, she slipped in the crowd that day. I don't know. She was ceremonially unclean because of her bloody issue. But she was desperate. So she slipped through the crowd, hoping nobody would see her. And she said, "If I can just touch the garment, I believe I can be made whole." The Greek text says that it was what she said in imperfect tense. And what that means is this, that she just kept saying it over and over. If I can just touch his garment. 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 Sometimes it gets to the point that you're just so desperate that you just got to get to him. That hope is so empty. That hope is just so cold that you've just got to get to him. And I want to tell you, that's where hope is found. It's found in Jesus. He's the one that restores hope. He's the one that helps the hurting heart. He's the one that can meet the need. He's the one that can soothe the emptiness. She said, if I can just get to him, if I can just get to him. She was so desperate that day. She was desperate and she was delivered. She touched the garment. And she was healed. Jesus immediately realizing that healing had gone out of him. That's what the virtue, power meant. Power had gone out of him, healing. He stopped and said, who touched me? The disciple said, people are thronging you and you asked who touched you. But Jesus looked around and saw her. She came and fell down before him. He said a word to her that he'd never said to any other woman. He called her daughter. He didn't speak to her as a man to a woman. He spoke to her as a father to a child. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Why didn't Jesus just let her go on her way? Why did he call her back and expose her? That she might know there is a new relationship with him in her life. That Jairus might know to not lose hope. That the disciples might know that you don't lose hope. That you and I know that you don't lose hope in Jesus. Because there are situations that we all deal with. There are people you know that are lost, that need Jesus. And you're saying, God, I don't know if they'll ever get saved.
But Jesus says, don't lose hope. There are circumstances that you're saying, God, I don't know if it'll ever change. This story says, don't lose hope. Because there's Jesus. There's problems in your life that you're saying, God, I don't know that it'll ever get any better. The story says, because of Jesus, you don't lose hope. You keep trusting Him. You may say, but my faith is so weak. You look at this woman's faith. It was very weak. But you know what this story tells us? That Jesus even takes us, even when our faith is weak. Even when our faith is struggling. And He says, I'll help you. If you'll just trust me. If you'll just trust me. I say to you today, wherever you are, and whatever you're dealing with, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. As long as Jesus is still Jesus, don't lose hope. Keep trusting Him. Keep looking to Him. Keep seeking Him. Keep praying. Keep asking Him. Because He's still God. And He's still able to answer your prayer. I want to come to the instruments. That's the message of my heart. I'll be honest with you. The Lord gave me this message, I'd say a month ago. And every time I got ready to preach it, He sent me another way. And I'd want to preach it, and it'd send me another way. And I'd get it ready to preach, and it'd send me another way. But finally today, this week, all week long, He kept saying, okay, this week, I want you to preach the message. And so today, He's let me preach it. And I thank you. So it's today. The message is don't lose hope. There is hope for hurting hearts. Just stand. If there's a need, this altar's open. And you can come and ask the Lord to help you. To meet the need of your life while they pray.